Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
All right, ready to roll here on a Saturday morning. Thanks to our friends at Insperity. Visit Insperity.com for powerful HR solutions with exceptional follow-through. Happy Players Weekend as the action at TPC Sawgrass is through 36 holes. Charlie, how you doing this morning?
You know, I'm freezing.
Yeah, studio's a bit cold,
studio
but it's getting
cold.
Warm out. Your Michigan weather has left the building.
Yeah, I mean, what the heck's going on here? But exciting weekend. It's the weekend of the Players' Championship. Should it be a major or should it not? That's always the question. It has the best players in the world. It is the home of the touring professional, you might say. But it's exciting.
Trevino said earlier this week he thought it should be the fifth major.
Yeah, yeah. And if he says it, it's right.
Yeah, he did a great segment there on Golf Channel with Brandel Chamblee and Paul McGinley and all those guys. They're just doing an excellent job, and it's always great to hear from Trevino. What a player, Charlie. You spent a ton of time with him at the Inspired Invitation.
You know, he could play down the Highway 10, you know, and all the way to L.A. from Houston. But he had control of the golf ball like no other, and it was fun, and he had a personality that was so great, and I love Lee Trevino.
You couldn't script a better leaderboard going into the weekend. Two dangerous young talents atop the leaderboard in Akshay Bhatia and Minwoo Lee, and a tie at 11 under, both of them open 67-66. You have, you know, two multi-time major champions in Rory McIlroy and Colin Morikawa within two. And then, you know, Scottie Scheffler.
How about this kid?
Which one?
Huh?
Which one, Akshay Bhatia or Minwoo Lee?
No, I don't owe you anything.
Morikawa last week at Bay Hill.
Kids are going to make mistakes.
So let me explain what happened there. Is he finished second at Bay Hill. You know, he had a 3-shot lead with 5 to play. Russell Henley makes an eagle on 16, ends up beating Morikawa. And Morikawa fails to do media after the final round, which was a big mistake on his part.
Big mistake. And then to say what he said.
Yeah, double down.
You know, I mean, so...
But he's not that guy, Charlie. Before that statement yesterday, he was going, I hope I don't bite my tongue when I say this. It's like, well, what do you mean? You know, if you mean it, why are you going to bite your tongue?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
It was his second runner-up finish. Through 5 events this season, he's had a ton of them over the last 2 years since his last win at the 2023 Zozo. But I thought Brandel Chamblee said it perfect. If you're going to be an elite player, you're going to have a ton of runner-up finishes. How many did Jack have?
19.
There you go.
That's just for majors.
And in regular PGA Tour events, I mean, the number's up there in the 70s or 80s, I think.
It's huge. So anyway. Live and learn.
You know, Akshay Bhatia, you know, probably the...
Akshay Bhatia. How about that name?
He's amazing, Charlie. He's amazing. Lefty, turned pro at 17, straight to the PGA Tour out of high school. He's got a pair of top 10s over his last 4 starts. You know, he did miss the cut last week at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He wasn't as discouraged by that missed cut at Bay Hill as you would think. Here's more from Bhatia after round 2.
I think last week was a blessing in disguise almost to miss the cut because... I was able to have my coach come, you know, back to Jupiter, and you know, I went a completely different route with my driver. Went back to my older head, changed the shaft, and you know, it's been such a relief for me because I feel like the driver's just kind of been the whole big thing holding me back, and so I do feel like, you know, a lot of these tee shots do fit my eye, and I don't really have much fear when I feel like I'm swinging it well, minus, you know, one shot today. So it's a good feeling. This golf course, like I said, it's it's one of the best I think we ever play, and you know, it takes a lot of strength to kind of just hit the shots that you need to.
What went back to an older driver, Charlie?
Older driver. Yeah. How old was it?
I think it's within the last 5 years, Charlie. But nonetheless, I mean, the new ones come out every year, and it feels like the shape in which you can perform with the driver, the shapes that you can hit the ball, the dispersion's
getting
lower and
lower. And the success he's had with that club.
Yeah.
You know, so it's sometimes the guys will change because of the manufacturers pay them a good deal that they want to go through the driver count on the first tee, and you just got to learn to accept that. But he's still an amazing player. I'm really impressed with him and what he's accomplished in the last couple of years against the best players in the world.
Yeah, won the Barracuda Championship, his first PGA Tour title in 2022. Won the Valero Texas Open in San Antonio last year in a great finish, a great duel against Denny McCarthy. And Bhatti is the youngest 36-hole leader at the Players at 23 years old. Previous record, Charlie.
Now, who?
Freddie Couples, 1984. 24-year-old Freddie holding the 36-hole lead. You remember that?
Freddie. I remember a lot what Freddie did. Freddie was so fun to watch, and his talent was just incredible. That he could, you know, his swing was kind of helter skelter, wasn't traditional, but boy, could he swing it the same way every time, and incredible. It's Freddie was one great talent. If it had a good back, no telling how many majors he would have won. I don't think he was an underachiever because he only won one major. He became player of the year.
Won the Players.
Yeah. You know, he was loved by all.
Yeah. No, he's one of the most beloved figures in the game. Now, both of these 36-hole leaders, Charlie, missed the cut last week at Bay Hill. Bhatia missed the cut, and Minwoo fired rounds of 78-73 last week en route to missing the cut. Minwoo, he's an Australian. We'll talk to your good friend Steve Elkington about him at 8:30.
The logo.
Not many people know that, Charlie. You look that up, and everyone thinks it's Mr. Nicholas. Everyone thinks it's Tom Weisskopf. The PGA Tour logo, set the record straight. It is Steve Elkington. It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, Minwoo won the U.S. Junior in 2016. You know, he's another Gen Zer who's inside the top 60 in the world going into this week. Charlie, he's hitting a 300-yard low stinger 2-iron off 7 of the tees at TPC Sawgrass. As long as it stays firm, I mean.
Really?
He's in good shape, but you got wind coming in tomorrow.
Now, who's doing that?
Minwoo Lee. He's in a tie for first at 11-under. He hits this low, penetrating 2-iron about 300 yards, probably flies 260, 270.
And he just runs out.
Just runs out. He's hitting it off of 6 to 7 of the tees. Did you see the new tee box on 6?
Yes.
No,
that's not. That's the old. That used to be that way.
Oh, that's how it was.
Yeah. And that tree overhung the. And I asked Pete Dye about that. And I said, why'd you leave that? He said, well, let him have something different. I said, well, the whole course is different. You know, this was a. When it first was used, the TPC was an incredible new type of golf course, and it has stood the test of times, and I enjoy playing it.
What shot did you hit off of 6 with that tree present?
Well, you just take a 3-wood and try to hit it low. Yeah. I mean, it's intimidating. It gets your mind thinking.
Yeah. What do you think about some of these mini drivers that the Players are putting in the bag?
Well, it's not new. It's not new science. It's a club that 12, 13 degrees,
yeah.
and it's a strong 3-wood. You know, in the old days, that club used to be called a brassy. Which, you know, you had the driver, the brassy, the spoon, you know, those kind of things. But it seems to be working for quite a few guys.
Yeah, this week especially. You heard a lot of them in their press conferences add a quote-unquote mini driver in the bag.
Yeah.
for this golf course this week. You know, more on the Australian who's in a share of the lead, Minwoo. You know, his best finish so far on the PGA Tour. Now he is a 3-time DP World Tour winner. Won the Scottish Open in 2021. Won the Australian PGA in 2023. But his best finish was right here at Sawgrass back in 2023.
Really?
He came in sixth. And here's what he came in sixth, was in the final group in 2023 with eventual winner Scottie Scheffler. Here's what Minwoo has learned since then.
Big learning curve, especially the fourth hole. That's probably one shot that I regret in my, you know, career. So, you know, it was a wedge that I got steep on, and it's been the narrative for a long time. My approach play, you know, I just see the ball flight coming in low and I get a little bit too steep, and it's nice to actually just, you know, hit it up in the air and trust it. That's a big part of, you know, why I'm getting a little bit better with my approach play. And just I think a bit more level-headed and a lot of learning between then and now. So obviously Scotty won that tournament and he played really good and just, yeah, learned to be in that final group, yeah.
How important is that elevated ball flight around Sawgrass? Do you have to hit it high?
You know, these guys, the golf ball is designed to spin and they control it and they can get it as high as they want. And yes, a ball, you know, the year that Greg Norman won the Players, you know, the guys that can hit the ball high and drop it in there soft have a little more advantage, I would say.
The logo hit it way up in the air, didn't he?
The logo.
He could hit the moonshot.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, Steve was a talented player and he could hit every shot in the book, and I'm looking forward to getting his opinion about the championship, which he won twice, but also we're going to, you know, listen to the Australian. We're going to talk a little live golf.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So here we go.
You know, as far as, you know, both of these leaders, Bhatia and Minwoo Lee, you know, they have every single shot in the bag, which they're going to need for two reasons this weekend. Number one, Charlie, you're looking at 30 to 40 mile per hour winds.
I know.
You know, at Sawgrass over the next 2 days. And number two, they have two multi-time major champions in Rory McIlroy and Colin Morikawa within two heading into the weekend. We're going to hear from Morikawa in the next segment about dodging the media at Bay Hill. Charlie, do you see the situation between Rory McIlroy and University of Texas' Luke Potter in the Wednesday practice round?
No.
So Luke Potter is a great amateur who is on John Field's University of Texas golf team. And the Sawgrass Intercollegiate was last week, and Luke Potter won. It was his first collegiate win as a junior. So they win, and they go out and celebrate, and then they come out on Wednesday. The team comes out. They get to talk with Scottie Scheffler. They get to walk with Jordan Spieth. And Potter and another teammate kind of separated from the pack and started following Rory. And Rory, it was either 17 or 18, Rory hits a shot in the water. Off the tee, and Potter goes, just like the 2011 Masters. That's what he said.
No,
behind the tee box, and Rory heard it, and Rory walks over to Potter, takes his phone, Charlie, and walks away. And but you know, since you know, University of Texas golf has come out with apology. Luke Potter apologized, but and Rory wouldn't comment on it. But it was quite a scene, Charlie.
Wow,
I did, because you're watching this thinking it's just some, you know, average fan.
Yeah,
and it's one of the best amateurs in the world talking, you know, mess to Rory McIlroy, and it didn't
talking smack.
Yeah, it didn't turn out well for him. It didn't turn out well for him. We got to take a quick break. On the other side, we'll talk about JT62. Hear more from Colin Morikawa on dodging the media last week at Bay Hill. We'll also hear some sound from Scottie Scheffler and his return to form. Still within six going to the weekend. World number one, I'd say, still very much in this tournament. We got to take a quick break. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity. Back after this.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
I would say the most exciting roller coaster we've seen through 2 days of the Players would be Justin Thomas opening 78-62 and sitting at 4-under in a tie for 29th. Charlie, 10-under 62. Previous instance that happened was 2023. Tom Hoagie shot a 62 in round three of that tournament, and I was actually playing alongside Justin Thomas. But what were your thoughts watching that round?
You know, John, Jason is known for low scores. He shot 59 when he won the Hawaiian tournament.
Yeah.
So he's not afraid to do that. And yesterday I was, you know, really happy for him. The only thing that really bothered me is I wish he'd hit his driver because he's one of the best drivers on tour. And little draw, baby draw that he has, but he chose to hit a 3-wood in the rough, and then it just shows you that golf is a game of decisions. And but it was one heck of a round.
Yeah, that was one of the best rounds I've played for sure. I just got it. I mentally, it was the biggest thing. I mean, I felt like I did an unbelievable job of just staying, you know, keeping my eyes forward, keeping my blinders on, not looking or, you know, backwards, forwards, anything like that. It was just, how can I put this ball in the fairway off the tee and how can I make birdie? And then let's rinse and repeat. And I putted the ball beautifully too. So it, just one of those days I feel like I haven't done a great job of that this year, of when I get it going, keeping it going. I think I started to get a little defensive, which is not me. And it's just funny. I mean, Rev and I talked about that, I think even this week, of just when I do get it going, of just keep it going, you know, don't be bashful. I'm obviously playing really well. Otherwise I wouldn't be that many under par. So that's what I did today.
You know, it's interesting to find out that his wife is part of his psychological team,
yeah.
You know, and she talks to him and helps him, and that's good. I mean, and now with their little baby, and the life of a golf pro is unique. Spend more time in a motel than you do in your house, you know. So, but yesterday's round was a perfect storm.
Yeah,
because he's got so much pride. And he's come back. He won this tournament from 7 back on the weekend.
Yeah.
So that's what he is right now. So he went to Alabama. He's a good player, good kid, and he showed what kind of player he is.
At his press conference yesterday, he said he's having, you know, a little bit of a tough time. He was talking about his first round 78, which was really due to making a mess of 17 and 18. Otherwise, you know, played a fairly solid round.
Yeah.
You know, he said that when he doesn't have his best stuff, you know, he's having trouble changing his game plan on the course and playing a little bit more conservatively. You know, do you see that a lot with the average golfer, Charlie?
Sure. You think you can do things that you really very seldom get in that frame of mind where it's a voyage. It's so much fun. It's kind of like being on a sailboat going through a lake, and it's just so serene, and really there's nothing that can really upset you, and you get it going. I mean, I've shot 61. I've shot, you know, low scores. I've shot low 64 on the weekends. And he's proven that, you know, he's that kind of player. And but it's all about, you know, mind over matter.
16 stroke turnaround for Justin Thomas, and a tie for 29th at 4-under. Yeah, once again, only 6 back. Charlie, someone sitting at 6 back, especially to the caliber of Justin Thomas, they are in this golf tournament, aren't they?
Oh, sure, because there's a triple bogey waiting, yeah, for you around the corner. You know, holes number 5, number 14, of course, the famous number 17. You got to get through that. But, you know, now the hole is placed so short, wedges are a lot easier to hit that island green than before. So Yeah, but anybody can come back from five shots.
Yeah, well said. So we talked about, and that's Justin Thomas. We also talked about the leaders, Bhatti and Minwoo, in the first segment. We'll get to that with Steve Elkington at 8:30 as well. But two shots back in a tie for fourth at 9-under is world number two Rory McIlroy and world number four Colin Morikawa. Both players, multi-time major champions. McIlroy won his 27th PGA Tour event in early February at Pebble Beach and has two top 20 finishes since then. And Morikawa is in the middle of a two-year winless drought. His last win came at the Zozo Championship in the fall of 2023, and he's had two, you know, very painful second-place finishes through four events this season. Came up three shots short to Hideki Matsuyama at the season opener at Kapalua. And then last week, Morikawa held a three-stroke lead with five holes to play at the Arnold Palmer Invitational before Russell Henley completely shocked the world with a chip-in eagle on 16 to beat Morikawa by one. Charlie, Morikawa did not do media on Sunday after the final round at Bay Hill. He signed autographs for 15, 20 minutes after the round, but did not talk to the press. The media was all over him this week for it, and Morikawa brought it up once again after his second round 65.
And then I just want to add one more thing. You know, might bite my tongue after saying this, but, you know, to the Brandel Chamblees, to the Paul McGinleys, to the Rocco Mediates of the world, I don't regret anything I said. You know, it might have been a little bit harsh that I don't owe anyone, but I don't owe anyone. You know, I respect the fans. I'm very thankful for them. I'm grateful. You know, it makes me emotional, but it hurts to hear people say this, and especially you guys, because I finished the round and I went to go sign for 10 minutes, 15 minutes for all the people after. Not a single person from media went to go follow me because I don't know, but that's me, you know. For people to be calling me out is, it's interesting. You know, it doesn't show anything. I mean, look, I get what you guys are saying, but I was there. I was signing for every single person right after the round, whether they wanted it or not. I finished second. They could care less. But yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. All right. So thank you guys.
It's a young kid, you know, trying to justify a mistake. He's better off just, you know, getting away from it and admit, I'm sorry, I was upset. There's been, you know, players do that before, and they live to regret it. And so now he's got a chip on his shoulder real big. And that one lady who from the Golf Channel said, yeah, there's you haven't won in 536 days in 62 hours. He said, what? That really got him.
Yeah, no, it did. Can you explain to the audience why it's not a true statement for a player to say he doesn't owe anything to anyone when you look at the golf ecosystem and the sponsors and the fans and fellow players? You know,
here's a kid out of college, just, you know, California, Berkeley, and he won his first major in San Francisco. And he's proven he's a good player. He's just, you're going to make mistakes when they put the microphone in front of you.
Yeah, and you have to do media after every round.
And he's got to have a manager, which I know he does, say, okay, here, let's go do this, let's go do that. When Ankel won the Masters, it was incredible what he had to go through. And he put up with it, but, you know, you've got 20 guys asking you the same questions all the time, and you get a little sick of it, but that's just part and parcel of being a professional golf on television. You're going to need to answer questions that you don't like, especially when you lose. And when he lost that tournament, it was his to win. And that chip that kid made, it was just heartbreaking. But you knew, you know, that happens.
Yeah. And Henley's a great player, Charlie. I mean, multi-time PGA Tour winner, played great with Scottie Scheffler at the Ryder Cup last year, hitting the ball fantastic. And And, yeah, Morikawa comes up just short again. Well said there as far as the media is concerned. Let's run through these favorites really quick before we have to go to break and where they are. Scottie Scheffler opened the week at plus 550. World number one is six back of the lead at five under and a massive tie for 16th heading into the weekend. You know, that is still with, you know, well within reach. You know, just a few weeks ago, we saw Joe Highsmith make the cut on the number at the Cognizant and then go on to win after weekend rounds of 64-64. So Scheffler, a multi-time players champion, he's definitely in this golf tournament sitting six back, and you do have some incredible value there at 12-1. Scheffler's hitting it very well through two rounds, but the wait for his putter to get hot again continues, and Scheffler addressed that after round two.
Well, I mean, not only is consistency week to week, but year after year, I think you got a guy there that's played really well here for about 15 years. It may even be longer than that. You guys remember better than me, but it's very impressive, not only his week to week, but his longevity year after year. I mean, the guy's won, I think they said 27 times this morning on the first tee on tour, and just doing a few things right to be putting up those kind of numbers.
You know, your early stages, by comparison, you're kind of in the midst of that. How difficult is that to sustain?
Well, I just think with this game, it's very difficult. You know, you can battle a number of things. You know, injuries, you know, aging. There's lots of different things that can happen. And so, Rory has stayed healthy for a long time. He's played great golf for a long time, and it's definitely not as easy as you would think it is.
Well, that was Scheffler on world number two, McIlroy.
Right.
You know, who you know he thinks the world of, and you know, McIlroy. You know, he's two back of the lead at nine under and a share for fourth. McIlroy scrambled well en route, you know, to a 5-under 67 in round one after only hitting four fairways. McIlroy then hit the ball better in round two, you know, even though his score was one worse at 68. I think, you know, Rory, his chances this weekend just as good as anyone with how well he's putting.
Yes, he's had a heck of a spring. He came into Florida, you know, had won a what did he win in
Pebble Beach? Yeah, he's 27th.
Incredible way. I mean, he really showed how good he really is. And so, if he gets on top of that horse one more time, he could win this in a night, you know, in a heartbeat.
No doubt. Finishing up the last three names on the favorites to start the week. Colin Morikawa was the fourth favorite there at 14-1. He's in a tie for fourth at 9-under. Ludvig Åberg was the fourth favorite at 18-1. He's going home early, Charlie. A missed cut, a little bit of a surprise there
yeah.
with how well he's been striking the golf ball.
Yeah. I think he had some moments that kind of got him sideways, and that's what happened with professional golf. When you guy like he who's had success early in his career, he goes into this tournament kind of expecting, man, I'm going to – and then he hits a few bad shots. And
as you said, a triple bogey's around every corner.
Yeah, it upsets the apple cart. And it's a learning process. I mean, I never learned it.
All right, we'll be back on the other side with two-time Players Champion and 1995 PGA Champion Steve Elkington, the logo. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
We now head to the Progressive Guest Line and welcome in 1991 and 1997 Players Champion Steve Elkington. He won in 1991 by 12 shots. I'm sorry. He won in 1991 shooting 12 under over four rounds to beat Fuzzy Zeller by one shot. And he won in 1997 shooting 16 under over four rounds to win by seven strokes over Scott Hoke. Steve, thank you for taking some time to join Charlie this morning.
Elkie.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Elkie. The great Cougar. Right?
Cougars are running hot in the basketball, Charlie. We might take it all the way this year.
Oh, I love watching them. I mean, they really nice. But Steve, you know, it's TPC time and Players Championship, and we know you've won it twice. Do you pay attention to it? Are you what's going on in your life as far as watching golf?
Yeah, I like to watch it. I didn't get to see a ton of it yesterday. I watched a fair bit of it on Thursday, but you know, it's bunched up. I mean, I was interested to see Justin Thomas come back. As you know, he shot like 78 the first day, and then he's 11 under through 17, which is amazing yesterday. But you know, there's some interesting players up top. Minwoo Lee, I've been kind of waiting for him. Akshay Patea, he's good. I'm really interested in watching this kid, Alex Smalley. I don't know much about Alex Smalley, but I love the way this guy plays. He's only made one bogey in 36 holes. And, you know, this tournament is super bunched up. But there's going to be a lot of wind today. And I still think it'll be bunched up again tomorrow, Charlie. But it's going to be a much different course today.
Well, when you played it and you had control of the golf ball better than most, and as you say, your swing was the picture of the Steve Elkington is legendary, being the logo. Your swing, you know, we used to watch you work with Dick Harmon and your teacher from Australia. Do you, when you see a tournament like this that you won, do you miss the action?
I don't miss the action at all. You know, I'm getting a little long in the tooth now for action, but, you know, the course is the same. You know, one of the advantages, I think, one of the fun things about watching the Players' Championship is, as a fan and as a player, is, you know, they've got to hit the same shots I had to, you know, and this is not a power course. Minwoo Lee looks to me like he's doing all the damage with like a 2-iron off the tee. He's hitting it like 300 yards off the tee. He could be, you know, having that much, you know, that much speed and that much distance with an iron, that could play well for him with the wind. And being Australian, he knows all about the wind. So, no, it's interesting to watch, Charlie. I mean, the ninth hole, you know, someone sent me a video yesterday. You know, I reached the ninth hole in 1997, and they still reached the hole in now, of course. But it's just, it's not a power course. You've got to be able to hit the fairways, and there's about 11 or 12 shots that you've got to sort of go across water and, you know, pin high as your friend. I mean, we saw guys blow up. You know, they're shooting 78, 79, you know, Ludwig missed a cut. I mean, you can get in trouble quick on this course, and that's going to happen today, but I do think there'll be a handful of guys up there around 11 under it by nightfall.
Yeah, so we really won't know what's going to happen until you start that backside. Will, what do you got for Elkie?
Well, Steve, you know, last time we had you on the show and you mentioned his name, you said Minwoo Lee is a player that we need to watch out for, and you know, he's now the 36-hole co-leader at the Players. I'm just curious how impressed you are by his progression over the last several years.
He's doing it. You know, he's a tour player. He's powerful. He's strong. Hasn't won yet. I mean, I look down that board. You know, you got Rory's there. Morikawa's right there. I don't like, you know, just one curving of the ball like Morikawa has. I don't see, in a big win, just having a fade shot, Charlie, is not that appealing to me. You've got to have the other one, too. I think guys down there at 5-under, I think Scheffler's still in it. You know, I'm looking down on my phone just a little bit here, but Zalatoris, I don't think he can play that. He's a good striker. I don't think he can putt that good in the wind. It takes a bit of a mix to, you've got to be able to move the, you know, you've got to be able to stand on some of these holes and hit the shots required. I mean, Scheffler talked about it in his press conference, and you know what? He just said exactly what I've been saying for years. If you can't do both ways, I don't think you can win it at the end.
I would have to agree with you with you know, watching the Justin Thomas play 18 and he went with a 3-wood. Would you have stood up there with your driver and just hit it down the middle?
There's a tree out there that's, you know, that's got a broken branch up top, and it's like 290 yards to run out on that tree. So when I walked onto that tee, if it was a 3-wood to stay short of that, or if it was a driver to stay short of that, that was kind of where I was going. And, you know, and that's kind of the way I played the course, to be honest. You know, every hole pretty much has a GPS tracking device or the way you should play it. And if you can do that, Pete Dye, of course, you know, he was the master at messing with your eyes when you stood on the tee. I mean, there's no more than 17 and 18, but you know, it was, they put the tree back on number six, Charlie. That tree, as you know, always used to hang over the top. And
yep,
it was so Pete Dye, right? He always wanted you to have to do something. I don't think one guy's hit the tree, so it's not that big a deal. And the hole's still playing under par, so I don't know what these guys are freaking out about the tree.
It just messes with their mind.
Yeah.
But
so I think they put the tree in just so they can't drive the green, Charlie. It's 380 yards.
Yeah. Well, Steve, I got to ask you, and you've been, you know, you're from Australia. You came to the United States as a young man, and you went through college, and you were really a great college player at University of Houston. And now we got LIV Golf. Now, if number one, would you have gone with LIV?
Well, I don't know. You know, my wife and I, we talked about it when they were offering out these big contracts to go over, you know, towards the end of my, you know, maybe not the end of my career, but whatever. If someone was going to offer me $100 million to go play golf somewhere, and I'm a foreign player anyway, I might have had to consider it. That's number one. You know, it's kind of ruined the tournament, all these tournaments. I mean, this used to be legitimately the best field in the whole world, this one. But it's not now. I mean, I know Trevino was on a podcast this week saying, you know, well, let's just call it the fifth major. Well, you can't really call it the fifth major anymore. You used to be able to when I won it because you had that top 150 guys in it. But without Bryson, without Brooks, without Cam Smith, all these other guys, it's not. It's just not the best. It's not the best field.
Well, I'm not sure. The guys that went to the LIV, they're gone. They're out of here, and there's still there's still a lot of good players that tee it up on Thursday that make it exciting. You know, there's enough good players to watch to satisfy your desire to see great golf shots, which you guys did at the. You know, the height of pressure was the shot into 17 harder than the drive on 18? Or what was the hardest shot that you faced on that golf course?
17, for sure. I mean, I used to worry about 17, you know, early in my career. I used to worry about 17 when I was on about number 8. You know, I'm thinking about that shot if the wind was blowing around, and I made a deal with myself one time that I wasn't going to worry about 17 until I got to 17. Then I was going to let myself worry about it. But and then by the time you get to 17, it happens. You're on the tee and off you go, and you don't worry as much. So just trying to trick myself about 17. Today it could be blowing 25 miles an hour with gusts of 35 is what I'm reading, and it's blowing out of the south. So that's straight down wind on 17. So I don't know. I think straight down wind, 30 miles an hour, would be the scariest shot because, you know, it's like a plane landing. You can't fly that ball way up in the green. So that makes that landing area very small on the front, Charlie. I'm saying they're going to have the pin upstairs left for sure. That's the only place they can put it. And you're going to be seeing these guys trying to hit a shot and land it into the face of that hill. And if it comes back, no problem. I'll take a 50-footer there. But we're going to see guys go in the water, and it's automatic double bogey straight away if you hit it in there, because if you go to the drop circle, you know, you can't realistically get it up top, so you're going to hit it 30 feet and take 5. 18, you don't have to go for it, Charlie. You can lay it up to the right and play it somewhat conservatively. You don't have to drive it up there, but I never really was a big hooker of the ball, as you know.
Yep.
Worked the fade, so 18 wasn't as dramatic for me worry-wise.
Well, one question I got to ask you, and you spent so many hours with Jackie Burke at Champions, and socially, you know, on the golf course, in the kitchen. Now that Jackie's is not with us, what was a couple of your favorite stories about Jackie Burke?
Well, you know, it's funny. One of our friends, John Paul Hebert, was here yesterday with his team from Las Vegas. They're getting ready for the All-American, I guess, over there at Redstone this week, and he was playing a match yesterday, and we were talking about Jackie, and you know, he just kept everything real. You know, if you came back off tour and you'd played well, he wasn't really that interested in that. And if you came back off tour and you played bad, he wasn't that interested in that either. He just you know, he was. I read something recently where you better listen when Jackie Burks talked to you, because when he decided he was going to make a comment to you, it was going to have about three parts needle and about one part humor. Is that true?
Oh, I would say yes. He came at you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I remember when Crenshaw came over one time, and Crenshaw was into golf history and all that. And Jackie told, to give an example of that, Jackie would say, if you don't quit reading this, he said, you read all this golf history. He said, well, let me tell you something about your game. He said, your game is history. it was always three parts needle, one. And now let's get out here and show me that beautiful stroke you got. You know, he'd bounce back with that last bit at the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he was a wonderful person, a great, great friend of yours. I really got to be because of Dick Harmon. You know, those guys were legends in their vocabulary with golf, you know, and you sit there and listen to Dick and Jackie go back and forth with what Claude used to bring. But anyways, golf is great because of them, and and we miss them dearly. So, well, go
the
ahead.
Live thing, Charlie. I don't think Jackie would have let me go to live. Do you?
No, live. No. Go ahead.
Well, Mr. Elkington, we got to take a quick break here, but we really appreciate your time and so many great answers there, and you're an unbelievable champion. Big fan of yours, and we look forward to talking to you very soon.
Who's your pick, Elk?
Great to be with you guys. Thank you.
Okay. Bye bye.
That was Steve Elkington, two-time Players Champion, with us here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We're going to take a quick break. Back after this.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
All right, we just finished up 15 minutes of world-class golf conversation with two-time Players Champion Steve Elkington. In case you missed that, you can find that at the conclusion of the show on Apple and Spotify. Charlie, you got a big Sunday ahead. You're hosting a...
like the University of Houston is having their championship out at the Golf Club of Houston on Monday and Tuesday. They got 15 great universities in town, and one of them happens to be TCU, which is my grandson's team, and so they're going to be out at a golf course, and we're going to have a little dinner, and they're going to practice, and we're going to talk a little golf, and I have the trophy from the Masters. I take care of it, and so we're going to talk a little Masters and see what all of these kids are, you know, about. And you just said this one kid just transferred from California, the new rules of
collegiate golf. Well, yeah, we were talking about Luke Potter and the incident between him and Rory McIlroy on Wednesday at the Players. We were talking about, you know, his journey. You know, Luke Potter is not your average golf fan. You know, he's considered the best junior golfer to come out of California of all time. Now, I know long-term that is Tiger Woods, but if you want to compare junior golf resumes,
yeah,
Potter was up there with Tiger, and then he went to Arizona State his first 2 years.
And now, what does he get paid?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would have to go look. All it takes is a simple social media search, and you can see what companies these players are touting and who's paying them. I don't know who sponsors Potter off the top of my head. I would assume he has two or three deals already, Charlie, coming from Arizona State. Struggled a little bit his first 2 years there, but just won the Sawgrass Intercollegiate, which is one of the biggest tournaments on the schedule. So, yeah, the rules of college golf has changed a lot. I'll be interested to see to hear your feedback on what TCU's roster is like. I'm sure they all, you know, are driving it over 320 yards, Charlie.
Oh yeah.
How far is Charlie Wiley driving it?
Charlie's got some good speed. Yeah. He's got some good distance. He can get it over 300. So he's doing good. They have a great coach there, and he's shot some great scores in all the tournaments. So he's had a good freshman year so far.
And they're playing the same tournament that Elk was talking about at Golf Club of Houston?
Yes.
Is this, okay.
Golf Club of Houston.
Wow. This should be a great tournament.
Yeah.
Especially with all the realignment with the conferences. Should get some pretty good schools there.
That's it.
Let's get to a couple more takes as far as audio and some of the leaders is concerned. You know, Tommy Fleetwood, who, you know, has just recorded, you know, top 20 after top 20 over the last few months. You know, he's an interesting English player. You know, he's at 18-1 within five shots of the lead. And, you know, he's a multi-time DP World Tour winner, still searching for his first victory on the PGA Tour. Had a very close call at the Olympics before Scottie Scheffler made that big push on the back nine. Here's Fleetwood on some of the conditions this weekend and his thoughts on the wind at Sawgrass.
Well, we'll see. Clearly with the wind, it's a completely different test. Again, makes controlling your ball off the tee even more important than it normally is, and just giving yourself the chance to control your golf ball and trying to be kind of relentless and patient out there and just keep hitting shots, really. So, whatever the challenge is, looking forward to it.
Charlie, for the average golfer at home watching the coverage this weekend and they see the players hitting in the wind and practicing different shots, what can they take away from the coverage this weekend?
Well, you know, the announcers are going to do a good job. Randall is very good at explaining golf swings and where they are with their success is determined about, you know, driving the golf ball is so important here at the TPC. So listen to the announcers, tape it, and then just use it as cyber vision, you know, that you can get how much swing they use on 17, and you're going to see that it's not a full swing driver. It's that pitching wedge, and they're finessing it because they can't hit it too hard because they'll overspin it, and that green is really tilted from back to front, and you can spin it off the front of the green without any problem whatsoever. So, you know, listen to the announcers, and you'll get some good information.
Mr. 62, Justin Thomas, also commented on the conditions. Let's hear from him.
Yeah, I'm just happy to be playing, dude. Like, I got so excited early in the week when I saw that because I love playing in those conditions. I just think it's you got to be creative, and it's just – it's tough. But I was far from thinking about that yesterday or last night. But I don't know. I mean, this course is just so unique, and I've always liked it. I've always loved it since I first played it because I just think that, I mean, you look at guys' scorecards, like the volatility. I mean, obviously, my last 2 days, it's not that much. But, you know, I think like Jordan's front nine yesterday. Like, obviously, Jordan, he does that from time to time, but that's not normal. So you can make so many birdies, and you have four par fives, chances to make eagles, but, like, you can make a double so fast out here if you get it out of position or just don't hit the ball where you should. So when the wind comes out, it just amplifies it.
Well, we'll see if Justin Thomas could mount a huge comeback this weekend. We'll be keeping an eye on him. Charlie, before we get out of here, there are business owners looking for better HR performance, and we have a company they can go to.
Insperity, a company that inspires business performance, and they have built a team of professionals that can really help the small business owner to grow their business, to improve their HR is what it's all about. It's a people business, and people like to be treated professionally, and Insperity is that type of company. So, but I want to encourage everybody. Now we're coming close to the Insperity Championship at the end of April. and we bring the best players from yesteryear, and it's a great 4 or 5 days of good golf watching the guys like Lee Trevino and Jack Nicklaus doesn't play anymore, but it's a great environment. Entry fee, you know, what do they have to pay? How much do they have to pay?
It's free, Charlie. Free. Every day. Friday, courtesy of Insperity. Saturday, courtesy of Wood Forest National Bank. Sunday, courtesy of Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. I mean, that you're not – no other tournament's doing this,
no,
Charlie.
You bring your loved ones out, your kids join in on the celebration, and Insperity is a company that loves to have their people come out and watch these great champions and have a nice hot dog and relax at a free golf tournament and at the Woodlands. And it's a golf course where, you know, it's been a tournament course since in the inception of Woodlands.
Yeah.
And so
a couple other things, Charlie, that fans don't want to miss. Friday, May 2nd at 5 p.m., that's John Daly's Grip It and Rip It long drive competition. And then Saturday, May 3rd at 2 p.m., you have the Folds of Honor Greats of Golf competition. That'll do it here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Visit Insperity.com for better HR performance. We'll see you next Saturday midway through the Valspar.